Welcome back to NHL Draft Class. My name is Adam Kimmelman, here as always with my colleague Mike Morial. Mike, how are you?
Very good, Adam. Hope you and the family are doing well. We're still moving along here. Glad to be back again for another episode of NHL Draft Class. We got a good episode today, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it.
Before we get to our guest today, Tom Garrity, the commissioner of the United States Hockey League, and Matt Coronato from the Chicago Steel of the USHL. Mike, you published your first of the season, I believe, NHL draft notebook. Let's talk about some of the guys that you profiled there and start with the guy who could go number one in the draft, Owen Power from the University of Michigan.
Yeah, Owen Power, 6'6", 214 pounds, obviously an A-rated skater on NHL Central Scouting's January players to watch list. You know, we're always looking for those big defensemen, those mobile defensemen, the guys that can play the game the right way in their own ends, using their sticks, their gapping, and Owen Power seems to have that, Adam. I know you've watched a few games, you've seen what he's all about. University of Michigan this year in general has, you know, three prospects that could legitimately go in the top 10 of this draft, and including Matty Beniers, who played a critical role for the U.S. At the 2021 World Junior Championship, of course, in their gold medal effort. And then Kent Johnson, who I also just touch upon in the notebook as another player that could go top 10 in this draft, a player that's on the radar of a lot of scouts and NHL general managers. Big centerman, Adam, right? 6 foot, 166 pounds. And Johnson and Power, by the way, are the only two players eligible for the 2021 NHL draft that were nominated for the 21 Hobey Baker Award. So that in itself is quite an accomplishment, right, Adam? And it's rare that you get guys that haven't been drafted. They're usually a little older, maybe, 19, 20 years old. But in the case of Kent Johnson and Owen Power, to have them on that list is something special for them.
Well, it's rare for an 18-year-old to come in and have that level of impact in the NCAA ranks, because like you said, most of the kids coming in, you know, most of the kids in NCAA hockey, they're a little bit older. They're 19, 20, 21 years old. For an 18-year-old, whether it's Power or Johnson, and to be honest, I was a little surprised Matty Beniers wasn't on that list as well, because he's had a spectacular season both at Michigan and with the U.S. at the World Juniors. But, you know, for any 18-year-old to come in to have that level of impact in the NCAAs, it speaks very highly to their skill set. And you know, NHL teams are paying attention, especially with a guy with the size and the skill set of an Owen Power. Just, you know, to me, you watch him play and you can see a little bit of Victor Hedman in his game, right? The way he moves at that size, that's a rare, rare commodity.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Power has, he played with the Chicago Steel just last year. And we'll be, talking to the USHL commissioner soon. And another A-rated player on Central Scouting's list and Matthew Coronato from Chicago. But, Owen Power, established some records for goals as a first-year player and then points for a defenseman last year in the USHL. So, he's got the credentials. He's got the resume. Now it's just a matter of him going out and showing what he can do for Coach Mel Pearson at the University of Michigan. And as I said, you know, Kent Johnson is a player right now, Adam. He actually leads, or actually he's tied for the team lead for the Wolverines. 18 points this year, 6 goals, 12 assists in 16 games. And he's playing left wing on that line, on a line with Matty Beniers and Luke Morgan, who's a senior this year. So an elite point producer, plays with pace and skill, crafty with the puck and can snipe it. That's Kent Johnson. Matty Beniers, of course, is, as you mentioned, a player that's going to be on everyone's radar. And Owen Power right now is probably, if he's not the best defenseman eligible for this draft, he's certainly top three, top four. And hey, let's face it, next year, right, coming in, Mel Pearson's pretty happy. He's going to have Luke Hughes along the back end as well. So that's going to be something to watch.
Yeah, the rich get richer. But let's for now, and let's remind people that notebook's going to come out every other every 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, every second Friday. Yep,
that's good. So people can look forward to that. But for now, let's bring in our first guest, Tom Garrity, the commissioner of the United States Hockey League. Tom, thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
So Tom, in preparing for our discussion, I read an interview you did back in June, You were asked then if there was a plan in place to having teams back on the ice this season, and you confirmed, but noted lots of things could change. And by that, you meant second waves and state regulations. And you followed CDC guidelines, not only nationally, but locally in all of your communities. And that led to the league's efforts to operate during these unusual times and leading up to the start of the season in November. So how did it all come together, and how difficult has it been to maintain?
Well, it's been a lot of work. It's hard to believe it's almost been a year. I remember in March, we were at an NHL summit in Boca Raton, or however you say, I always say it wrong, with all the commissioners of the different leagues in North America, from college to the Canadian Hockey League. And we were sitting around talking about this virus, and no one really knew a lot about it. And later that week, we shut our season down. And so since, you know, the middle of March, you know, until the time we started in November, it was a lot of work. So we had a lot of people helping us, the NHL, USA Hockey. You know, we hired a cardiologist. We hired an infectious disease doctor on recommendation from the NHL. We worked together with all the teams, all the states. We have eight different states, all the different mayors, all the different cities. I'm having a hard time talking today. Sorry. We, you know, we really put together, I think, as comprehensive of a plan that we could at that time, with the fact that we knew we were going to have to adjust it continuously and look at it daily and weekly and monthly. And along with a COVID task force that we established with leaders from our league and working with the individual teams, we felt comfortable with our return to play protocols that we could start the season in November. And we did. And, you know, and obviously the first month, you know, we knew we were going to have games canceled. We knew this virus was everywhere. We did everything we could to mitigate exposure, but we knew that teams and players and folks would get it, and we would have to be flexible and have safety first, and, you know, readjust the schedule. And we had set that up that way, you know, knowing that this was going to happen. And the first month was a really tough month, and we had to move a lot of games to secondary dates. But then as we got into December, and, you know, and now we're, you know, into February, it seems, knock on wood, that we've been able to have less and less rescheduling of games. And we hope that we're, you know, all things being in good faith, we hope that we'll be able to finish the season.
So, Tom, just on top of the difficulty of having a season and playing games, your league's about development and getting the players the chance to be seen by college scouts, by NHL scouts. How have you worked with teams either to do enhanced video or to allow some scouts at least to get into the buildings and meet virtually with players? How has all that worked?
Yeah, we've been pretty lucky. So we have this great relationship, as you guys know, with the NHL and USA Hockey. And we partnered with a video analytics company called SportLogic. And it's also a service that the NHLs and a lot of their teams use. And basically it analyzes video for all the teams, providing video, and then also, you know, tied into the NHL Central Scouting and the NHL individual team scouting department. So they have direct access to our video of our games for scouting purposes. And, you know, we've been really fortunate that we can use that to enhance the kids and their development and get the scouts and the folks that they want to be in front of the opportunity to have that access. So along with that too, which has been great, is it also helps with our on-ice officials. So, you know, we develop not only players, but also, you know, on-ice officials as well too. So SportLogic, along with us in the NHL and USA Hockey, you know, we developed this system that we think that's been, you know, very beneficial. Along with our partner Hockey TV and SportLogic, we bundled a bunch of the video and things of that nature for college scouts. So, If college scouts or pro scouts felt like they couldn't attend for safety reasons or for whatever might fall into their view of that, they had access to all this stuff. So, you know, we felt and we feel like we're doing as much as we can to make sure these kids are being looked at and you know, taking the next step to where they want to go.
Now, just in regard to the draft eligible players, you know, one of the big events on the draft calendar is the annual All-American Prospects Game in all of its different iterations. Last season, it was the best of the USA Hockey National Team Development Program against the best of the USHL and other leagues. Is there any chance that there could be something similar, obviously on a much lesser scale, but something similar for the draft eligible players this season?
Yeah, that's a good question. So yeah, we are working on that right now with USA Hockey and the NHL, because they support it, you know, with getting the players there and on ice testing and whatnot. So it's not official, but it looks like we will have an event similar to what we had last year in Plymouth, again, back in Plymouth in early April. We're just working out the details right now, but that is the plan, to have a very similar setup as we did last year, but early April.
What do you think is the current plan for the playoffs? I mean, do you have an idea how the postseason in the USHL might look? Will it need to be modified or changed in any way?
Well, as we stand right now, we're going to go with what we, you know, we had laid out, which would be, you know, four teams from each conference making it East and West. You know, playoffs would, the season would end, you know, on time. And we have a little flexibility if we need to move some games, you know, week or two here, and we would get into the playoffs with the thought that we would finish on time, late May. We have had discussions if things change and whatnot, but we just had a Board of Governors meeting just 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the feeling was we're going to stick to the plan of what we laid out as we went into the season, with you know, the caveat that if we need to be flexible, we'll readdress it. But as we stand today, the plan would be to have four teams, you know, from each conference go into the playoffs mid-April, be done by the end of May.
It's really incredible, you know, what you've been able to do as far as getting this league going. At least each team has played 22 games. So, again, a real credit to you and the entire league for getting together and going forward with this, for sure. But how do you believe, Tom, that the USHL is in a better place since you know, you're assuming the role on an interim basis in 2017?
Well, I mean, thank you for saying that. It's been a collective effort by the league office and the owners, really. I mean, I got to give a lot of credit to the owners, which they should take, because they're the ones that are, you know, losing quite a bit of money to make sure that the kids have an opportunity to continue to play. And I know the kids and the players really appreciate it. But I think, you know, I mean, from, you know, looking at my tenure with the league, I just feel like we really came in and we put a system of accountability, you know, from a lot of different standpoints, from rules and regulations to our tier one standards to, you know, really working with the teams individually to help them out when they needed help, whether it's from, you know, a sales perspective or a business perspective. I think we really spent a lot of time working on our scheduling, making sure we could do things differently to help with cost and travel and wear and tear on the players. I think we've come in, and this has been a collective effort. You know, I'm obviously the commissioner, but we have an amazing league office, and we've had a lot of support from our executive committee, which is made up of six representatives of the teams. And then along with the teams, they've all really bought into what we're doing. And I think that, you know, I'm kind of a blocking and tackling guy. I'm not going to wow anybody with anything other than that. I believe in just making sure that the things that you're known for, the things that you're good at, you focus on those things and you try to make them better. And I think since at least I started in 2017, that's been the philosophy that I brought to the table. And I think here we are in 2021. And I'm proud to be a part of the fact that I think we stuck to that core set of values. And I think our league's better because of it.
I guess in closing, you know, how will you and the league approach determining your successor? And when would you like someone to be in place when you're ready to leave on June 30? I know you said you made this announcement January 25th to allow ample time to,
yep,
to transition and put the new commissioner, you know, in the best possible position to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I got in the league in 2012 as an owner operator. So I've been in the league for quite, you know, 10 years, almost 10 years. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for the league and the people that are involved in it. So when the decision, you know, I came to just to say, hey, it's time to pass it on to somebody else, I wanted to give them, you know, I didn't want to come out of left field and have them kind of reeling, and, you know, especially with COVID and all the things that are going to be necessary to not only to, you know, when the season's over, you know, the next season's going to be a huge year for the league, and trying to take some of the positive things here and using that to everyone's advantage. So the game plan is, you know, we've already fielded a good chunk of resumes and people that are interested, because the league is a great league and it's in a good situation. I mean, I know it sounds hard to believe, but the league's never been stronger from an overall standpoint. And so, I'm going to really help try to find the next person that would come in and, you know, work with the current league office and the current, you know, obviously ownership groups, and really find the right person that can take what we've done and make it better. I mean, that's ultimately what we want to do. Is I want someone that's going to come in and make what I've, you know, been a part of, but I want to make sure, you know, I keep saying that because I always feel kind of sheepish, you know, to say myself, because it's been a collective effort. I just want what we've done is I want the next person to come in and take it to another level. And I'm, you know, 100% confident that we're going to be able to find somebody. Just even seeing the resumes that have come in already, there's some really outstanding candidates, and I'm looking forward to interviewing those folks. You know, the game plan would be to hopefully have, you know, a finalist pool narrowed down here in the next 45 to 60 days, hopefully have the individual selected and, you know, approved and agreed to by, you know, maybe, you know, 30, 45 days before the end of my term. And then that way we'll have ample time to transition the necessary things that that individual would need to be successful and hit the ground running.
Well, that's great stuff. Thank you, Tom. Good luck with that. Good luck with the rest of the season. We're enjoying watching the games. So thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Thank you so much for having me. Best of luck to you guys.
Mike, you know, I don't envy anyone in his position, because to juggle all the things that are going on, COVID, all the different state regulatory boards, the health boards, to get these games in as safe an environment as possible. But, you know, give credit to the USHL. Every team has played, 22, 23, 24 games?
Yeah. You know, the thing about the United States Hockey League and what Garrity reiterated is there's a stable of owners in place for all the 14 member clubs that wanted to get something done collectively, right, Adam? You know, the owners are committed to the league, even though, you know, they knew this season could be tough from a business standpoint. But the league has continued to have great relationships with the NHL and USA Hockey in working together on solutions, making sure the players here, a majority of them 16 to 20 years old, they're treated the right way, making sure they're okay, they're healthy, tests are being taken. And even when Garrity announced that, you know, he'd be stepping down, NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly said, you know, Garrity continued to elevate the USHL status as a junior league for elite level hockey in the United States and as a prime development platform for future NHL players. So he's helped enforce the notion that the USHL is indeed a major league player in junior hockey. No doubt about it, Adam.
And what also was nice is that he mentioned that there's a chance that there could still be some sort of not quite at the level of the All-American Prospects game that we've seen in the past, but there's a chance that there's going to be some form of a prospect showcase. And look, this is what NHL scouts need. They're looking for player development. You can only get so much of that off video. But if they have an event, and he mentioned maybe having it in Plymouth, you know, where the national USA Hockey National Team Development Program is, you know, the scouts know where that is. That's a great access place. So if there's some way of getting these players out in front of NHL scouts, out in front of college scouts, it's only going to help their development that much more and to help them in the eyes of NHL scouts.
Yeah, no doubt. We enjoy that game, right, Adam? Last year's game was held in Plymouth. It was a showcase of some great athletes, some great players, skaters and goalies, you know, both. So if they're able to pull that off this April, as Tom was mentioning, that would be quite an accomplishment. And certainly whether we have to do it virtually, or if maybe some media members are able to go, or if we're able to do it virtually, makes no difference to have these type of events in a season that, you know, where games are limited, few and far between. To get to be able to see a lot of these athletes on the ice in one setting will be something for everyone that, you know, they'd want to see and want to enjoy.
And for sure, one of the players who I can assume would be in that game is Matt Coronato from the Chicago Steel of the United States Hockey League. Matt, thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, Matt. Look, we've had NHL nicknames such as the Roadrunner, the Rat, even Flower. I want to know your thoughts on being called the Bison by Chicago Steel play-by-play broadcaster Mike Citron, and how did that originate?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. Citron and our video guy, Johnny Lehman, actually came up with it. Citron says that I go hard to the net and kind of ram it in like a bison. He has some other little attributes he says I have that are similar to a bison. It doesn't really make too much sense to me, but it's funny. Everyone likes it, and he's using it a lot, so it's good.
Yeah, I heard the snarling on one of the broadcasts. It makes it interesting. Next for you is Harvard University. So what about Harvard? I'm sure you had your choice of schools, but what about Harvard made it the right choice for you?
Just a mix of the academic hierarchy they have, along with the great program that Coach Notto runs. Ever since I was little, I've always wanted to go to a school kind of with that higher academic level. So Harvard was definitely a good spot for me. Coach Donato does a great job with that program. They're always a contender, always a great team. So it was a good choice for me.
So Matt, I've heard so much about your compete level, but what do you feel might be your most underappreciated attribute?
Yeah, I mean, my compete level is a huge part of my game. I think I've added some pieces to my game this year that have made me more effective. But I think something that goes with the compete level is speed. I think I've definitely added some speed this year, and it's been able to lead to success and production. Getting in on pucks, on line rush, just speed has been a big thing for me this year.
You know, you have pretty good access where you are to watch the NHL games. Who do you watch at the next level, either to pattern your game after or to steal ideas from, hey, he does that, I can do that in my game?
Yeah, my favorite guy to watch is Braden Point. I'm similar size to him. He's obviously a superstar in the league, but he's got great speed, great vision. He works super hard. He's able to find himself kind of in good spots in the offensive zone. He's a very aware player, so definitely a guy that I like to watch and try to learn from.
So, Matt, I'm hoping, you know, you can put on your scouting cap for us. You know, Adam and I, you know, NHL draft class, we love to talk about all the players eligible for the draft, and we're so happy you came on with us. But if you can do us a favor and give us a little scouting report on some of the players for the Steel, first off, forward, you know, Mackie Samoskovic and defenseman Ryan Ufko. And also, I'm curious, how has forward Sean Farrell maybe helped you this season? I know he was drafted last year, is also scheduled to attend Harvard next season as well.
Yeah, all three of those guys are great. I'd throw in definitely Josh Dolan with them as well. He's been unbelievable this year. But Mackie brings so much to the table with his skill level. Really flashy player, thinks the game well, works super hard. So it's really great to get to go to work with him every day. Same with Ryan Ufko. He's been unbelievable this year. He makes so many little plays. He's physical. He's been great on the power play. Just so many parts of his game are just fun to play with. Farrell, obviously, one of the best playmakers I've ever played with. It's unbelievable to get to watch him every day make some passes that he makes and make plays. And it's been really fun to play with those guys so far this year. They're all having great years. So being able to go to work with those guys and compete against them in practice only makes me better. So it really is a treat to be able to play with those guys.
So Matt, you know, you still got some games left to play this season and hopefully the USHL playoffs. What are you hoping to show NHL scouts here as we move forward through the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, the season's about halfway here. We still got half the season and hopefully a deep run into the playoffs. So a lot of time left just to keep getting better. And that's what we do here. We go in every day, we lift a ton and we do a ton of skill work. So we always have opportunity to get better. And that's the main focus going into every day. So still half a year and playoffs to kind of prove myself, but also just to keep on improving on my game and getting better and getting ready to play college hockey.
All right. So last one for me. you live in the Chicago area now, but you grew up on Long Island. So I have this very serious, longstanding question I need you to answer. New York style pizza or Chicago deep dish?
Yeah, I get asked that a good amount. It's definitely the New York style for me. I like deep dish, but nothing beats a nice slice of New York pizza. So definitely that for me.
Matt, that's awesome. You know, so when things clear up and whenever you're in the metropolitan area, please look us up and Adam will gladly pay, you know, pick up the bill for you and I for some pizza here. All right.
Absolutely. It'll be worth it.
Well, Matt, best of luck the remainder of the season and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
You know, Mike, here he is second in the league in scoring 48 points in 25 games. He's just been a dominant presence in the USHL this season.
Yeah, Adam, you got to like what you see out of Coronado. And I think a lot of the scouts are now seeing that. And you know, again, kudos to the USHL for being able to get this season going. As we mentioned with the commissioner, Tom Garrity, you know, to have every team at least play 22 games to this point is quite an accomplishment. But, you know, Chicago, and we were talking about it, is usually loaded with some top-notch players. This year, no exception. And Coronado is contributing big minutes, playing both the power play and the penalty kill. Really takes his foot off the gas, shows he wants to win. He likes to shoot, evidenced by his 101 shots on goal this season. And the majority of those attempts coming from the high danger areas. You know, I talked to NHL Central Scouting's Greg Rajanen earlier last week, Adam. And, you know, some of the keywords that got my attention when we were talking about Coronado, very quick release in stride, laser wrist shot. An elite backhand saucer pass that leads to grade A chances. He possesses the puck often. He wants the puck, you know, real passion and a compete level that's very high. He's tough to get the puck off of. And those are attributes that, you know, NHL scouts crave. And if he's able to keep it up, no matter, you know, I know he goes about 5'10-ish, it won't matter if he's got that compete level and the heart to go in there and get those greasy goals. That's a benefit for any NHL team as well.
Well, however good he's doing now, it's going to continue to get better because that Chicago team is just dominating its way through the league. They got six of the top nine scorers. And you heard Matt mention his teammate, Sean Farrell. He's the only player in the USHL with more points. He's got 52. So you have to think that the Chicago team is poised to do something special. And, you know, with the exposure he's going to get to NHL scouts through, you know, playing deeper into the season, it's only going to help his draft stock rise.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And he's a plus 26 too, right? The shooting percentage, 21.8, you know, 18 power play points. And as he told us, you know, he does a little bit of both power play. He could do some penalty kill. I know he has a shorthanded goal this year. So, you know, kudos to Coronado averaging 1.64 points per game. Scotty Farrell, Sean Farrell, his teammate, has 1.31 points per game. And Farrell's the one that leads. I think he's played one more game than Coronado this year. So a credit to Matt and what he's been able to accomplish in the USHL this season. He just needs to keep it going to make sure those scouts see him and he gets that recognition he deserves.
Well, we're all going to keep an eye on Matt as well. But that is going to do it for another episode of NHL Draft Class. Mike, any final words before we sign off?
No, just all our fans out there, thanks for being patient with us. We're trying to get guests as often and as soon as possible. It's sometimes difficult with what's been going on, but we're all moving along, pushing along, and we're just happy to talk about the prospects. It's you know, another 3-4 months and the draft will be upon us, Adam. So it's just a matter of being patient. Hopefully these other leagues get to playing, the Ontario Hockey League, the Western Hockey League. I know the high schools are underway in Minnesota somewhat. So it's just a matter of being patient and hopefully we can see a lot of these players in action by next month.
That's right. Hopefully everyone stays healthy, stays safe, and you can continue listening to NHL Draft Class anywhere you enjoy your podcast, Apple, Stitcher, Google Podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.